down below and he's ready to play. That's right, y'all, his name is AJ.
AJ.
Like that, huh, Bill? Like that. You like that?
You found something that got my big feet moving. That was all right. Listen, Soul Take Champions Live coming to you live from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Drops every Wednesday. You can pick it up. Urban Media Radio, urbanmediaradio.com. You can find us there. We're brought to you by Urban Media Radio and the new Pittsburgh Courier here in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. The Pittsburgh Courier, oldest black publication in the United States. 110 years and still counting. We were just talking about the Pittsburgh Penguins and hockey at large. Kev will give you the total breakdown. But I did want to make reference to something Mark alluded to when you talk about it being a Crosby series and his taking over. And while you may have another player that scores more goals or in a particular game, Crosby's doing all the setting up and all the deflecting and the leadership of it all. We're lucky to have a Sidney Crosby come into this city after a Mario Lemieux. That's like having, Tom Brady and then John Unitas.
No.
Or a Michael Jordan and LeBron.
It's
not crazy to say a Michael Jordan and then a LeBron.
Okay.
Right.
Because if you put a Mount Rushmore of hockey players up there right now and say the 5-6 greatest hockey players in the history of the NHL, Crosby and Lemieux would be in that top six.
Well, Lemieux's going to be there, but I don't think the world is ready to accept Crosby just as yet. But I think that, and I'll end my thought process with this, I think, and I said this last week, you weren't here, of course, I think these guys have known all along that three-peat is in their scope. I think Crosby and Malkin and those guys have, I think that's been part of their DNA since last year's ring acceptance. I think that they know in their mind and hearts that they can do it. I think they realize that that puts them in a whole different category of hockey, but I think they've been handling it in a manner that allows them to save energy and a lot of speculation. I just think that they get together at somebody's house at 2 a.m. and say, yeah, man, let's go get this. I really do. I think they know that they got a lot of talent on this team.
A guy like Hornquist, this is the guy that grinds it out. He goes to the net. He loves to go to the net. And not many teams have a guy that likes to go to the net, and he loves to go to the net. It makes a big difference. The coach, Mike Sullivan.
Good point.
The coach.
Very
the coach
good coach. Very good coach.
Awesome.
And we said this as well when the series got started. We expected Philadelphia Street to be broken, right? Mm-hmm. Because they were on the road. Mm-hmm. Again, they won a Super Bowl. They won the Men's National Basketball Championship. And maybe that's why they threw beer on the ring.
Well, they're just being Philly fans. But the Flyers are better. The Flyers just weren't good enough. They actually aren't as goonish a team as they used to be.
Okay.
And for everybody out there thinking, now, I'm sure there's a few people out there, in some desolate part of the nation thinking, yeah, I can catch a hockey puck in midair on a stick and ricochet it into a net while it's moving at 80 miles an hour. Let me assure you, you can't do it. But Sidney Crosby did it twice.
Yes, he did.
He caught a hockey puck in midair on his stick. I mean, this guy, then he catches one on his foot.
I tell you what, Bill. Hockey players do some amazing
things. They're amazing athletes. They don't get credit.
On skates. Mark, who's the guy that's actually playing with a torn MCL right now?
Couturier for the Flyers. That guy was amazing. I just heard today that's what his injury was. But he kept them alive. They would have gone down in five easily.
Okay, so go ahead, Jim.
Can we at least give a little shout-out to the best player in hockey today, Alex Ovechkin? he's one guy that's maybe got a chance to catch Gretzky's all-time record. And as far as the Penguins three-peat, and they're not going to three-peat, Fleury's not here. He was part of that them two series. I don't think Murray, with the bad glove hand, and we'll be able to
Hold
handle.
Nah,
we'll
nah,
be nah, able nah, to get. He'll back. Get tired nah, and he'll nah. get beat one series.
Ovechkin.
He's given up a lot. He gave up a lot of points already against the Flyers.
Ovechkin couldn't tape Crosby's stick.
He got almost 700 goals. The Crosby's what, 400?
He's not a winner.
Did Steve Young win after Joe Montana?
You talking
very about similar situation, right? The beat could continue. I expect the beat to continue.
And you're going
to
fall along.
I mean,
you're flipping
you're
on
a football guy now. I'm giving you an analogy. When Joe Montana was done.
How's Las Vegas doing right now?
I asked you a question, Jim.
I'm asking you one. Because I didn't understand yours, but you understand mine. Las Vegas is in the playoffs because of Fleury. Fleury's a great – he's a former first-round pick.
City,
he's a Hall of Famer.
Kansas City was in the playoffs with Joe Montana.
He didn't take – Was Archie Manning in the playoffs with an expansion team? Las Vegas
but
is an expansion
team.
Me.
You said that the Penguins would
in
not
my opinion,
win.
In my opinion.
Because Fleury is gone.
Right. You
and
need
I'm
two goaltenders.
Steve Montana left, and the 49ers still won.
But you don't need
Steve
two
Young.
Quarterbacks. You only need one to
you
play.
You only need one goaltender.
No, you need two goaltenders.
In the playoffs,
you need two goaltenders.
Well, we'll
History has proven that.
We'll see.
And it will prove it again, just like Alex Ovechkin is the best player in hockey today.
Let's ask the resident hockey authority your opinion on these on this argument they're having. I think they both have good points.
You're from Washington, so you know.
I live there now. Don't say I'm from there. But, no, so let's review. Sidney Crosby. How many Stanley Cup rings? Three. Alex Ovechkin, zero.
So that means Bill Russell's the greatest player of all time. Forget Jordan.
Well,
forget Will Chamberlain.
You've got to be able to put
but,
up
but
stats
not, not
and
to
win.
Go too far down the wrong path.
Crosby got the most concussions. I give him that.
And he's the best player.
He got the softest hand in the league.
In the NHL.
Alex Ovechkin can't spell defense.
Okay, so Mark, do you think the Penguins could repeat or threepeat?
Oh, they could, but they've got a tough road to hoe. Tampa Bay,
so,
and Boston.
So that's what the question was. So we're gonna move on. We're gonna move on to Major League Baseball. Okay, now I'm gonna raise up in my chair a little bit and talk about these Pittsburgh Pirates because we sat here a week ago. The Pittsburgh Pirates, my favorite team, and trust me, they are my favorite team. But when I'm in front of a microphone and I'm giving my assessment of any team, I'm going to give you the real deal.
This ain't a cat backtracking and cleaning up his mess. I've never seen it.
You know,
go ahead on, man.
Let me finish.
Clean your stuff up.
The Pirates, just about a week ago, were one of the hottest teams in baseball at being 7-2 in first place. Now, as of Monday night, this is a third place team in the National League Central at 12-10. Man, they're sliding more than a kid on a sliding board.
Now, Kevin, at the beginning of spring training, you would have never guessed they'd be 12-10, would you?
I said from the beginning that I thought that they would have a decent April. Now, let me tell you what's going on here, Mark. They're playing the Detroit Tigers, okay, a minor league team. So they better sweep Detroit and have a little bit of room so when they start to go play the St. Louis Cardinals, who's coming up, when they start to go play Milwaukee, that's coming up, and the Nationals, that's coming up, they're going to get slammed.
I don't know. All I said at the beginning was they'd be better than last year, at least 76 wins.
Now,
right now, they're 16% of the way to 76 wins. Yes, they had a rough patch. All baseball teams have a rough patch. Polanco, somebody needs to find him his bat, obviously.
James Harrison is hurt.
Yes, he is.
He's out.
So is Josh toward... Harrison.
Okay, Josh Harrison, yes. I'm thinking about the old Stiller. Yeah. All right, good
and
catch
that's
there.
Because you know he was done wrong.
That's okay.
And you can't get that off your mind.
Let's not talk about
that.
Well,
let's not. But
let's not talk about that.
There's a reason that's still on your mind.
It wasn't Josh's fault.
It wasn't his fault. It doesn't matter.
About his cousin.
He's hurt every year, too, for one reason or the other.
And you kind of saw that when he got hit on the hand, broke his hand on a 98-mile-an-hour pitch,
In every Pittsburgh Pirate fan's mind, they said, uh-oh, here we go.
He's always
that
close.
Injury will now set this thing in motion
yep.
to start sliding downhill. And that was my thought, too, because they were riding along pretty good. And he's not only a great player, but he's an inspirational player. And, my whole contention has always been, while I was shouting loud and proud that the Pirates are doing well, no pitching, no series. I mean, I've said that since beginning of time, and in spring training camp, if you don't come home with some bona fide pitchers, you're not going to pitching trumps hitting every day of the week. And when the
so
bats
why were you
off,
so giddy about
well, because
the
I was happy because I was happy because I'm a hometown guy
well,
and
you
I was
were drinking that Kool-Aid.
Well, I wasn't under any that disillusion
been that passing
they were,
out over at PNC
I
Park.
I wasn't under any disillusion they're going to win the World Series. I was just happy that they were doing well, and everybody has to admit they
I
did
was
better.
Happy that they were doing well.
We couldn't tell
also,
by the, we couldn't tell by the things you were
but
saying.
But I'm objective. I knew that
you almost had Mark in tears the way you were talking about the pie. I never seen a Marine cry.
You know,
I think they're on pace for 76 wins, just like I said at the beginning of the year. Trevor Williams and Tyon, I think, is close to being somebody you can rely on. Trevor Williams is so signs that he maybe can be. Ivan Nova is probably going to have an ERA around 4 the whole year, wind up maybe 11 and 13.
And what's
who
a good
knows?
ERA, Mark?
What's that?
What's a good ERA?
I would say around... Once you get under 4 these days, it seems to be a serviceable ERA.
See, I disagree
ERA.
With you.
Now,
you
for
have
the three or four starter. Now, your number 1 and 2 starter, they better be down closer to 3.0.
A 3 or 4 starter, I mean, that's basically all that we have. You
no.
know.
No, Tyon
is a solid pitcher. He's young. Trevor Williams is a solid pitcher as well. But they're not a 1 or 2.
I would say Tyon's a 2.
There are 1 and 2.
He's our 1 and 2.
There are 1 and 2.
There's been a lot of teams love to have Tyon.
In order to be effective in Major League Baseball, you got to have an ERA between 2.5 and 3.5. Okay, that's where they
need to be. For a number 1 starter.
For a number 1 or a number 2.
Number 2.
Okay, well, that's why I say we don't have a 1 or 2. And we have a horrible bullpen. We don't have a reliever that come in the seventh inning and get the job done, or the eighth inning to set it up for the closer.
Okay? I agree with you. With the bullpen to me has been more disappointing than the starters.
And I told you this at the beginning of the year that the bullpen was terrible. It would not hold up. And our offense is so suspect. You got Polanco, who's a very streaky hitter, and right now he's batting below 200, I believe, still.
190 or something like that, yeah.
Okay, and he's one of the guys that you expected to really step their game up. The only solid players we really have is Josh Bell.
No, well, Dickerson's doing well.
No, but Dickerson... You know, it's a long season. He's not going to continue.
Of course, he swings
the
balls over his head, but he's doing
but Bell
well.
And Marte. Bell and Marte, those are the only two.
Moran, the third baseman. Wait, Moran, the third baseman's not doing bad.
Well, he's doing okay now, but I'm saying who I can expect throughout the year to consistently get the job done. Yeah. And those two players are the two offensively that I expect – will consistently get the job done. Everybody else, no.
And it's because you said it that it's true.
Not at all.
Well, you sound. Look, you haven't offered anything to any of us, certainly, and I'm sure to half the nation, that we didn't already know. We know all that. We were just enjoying the moment.
No,
we
not
were
at
enjoying
all.
The time of winning. There's nothing wrong with enjoying the winning and hoping that maybe we get
don't try
in
to backtrack,
bottom.
Bill.
I'm not
listen
backtracking.
To what I'm telling you.
You've been telling us the same thing for a month,
and
we
it's
know
materializing.
That. What I'm trying to tell you is that we know that too. We were just enjoying the time
and
that
I
they
told
were
you
winning.
To enjoy it.
Well, that's what we're doing.
While it lasts,
that's all we're doing.
I'm just looking for a season of excellent mediocrity.
Well, now you can't argue with that.
And that's about 76
well,
wins.
Well, that's a poor.
Maybe they'll be surprised.
That's a poor demonstration
Mark,
of
I
your
thought
thought
that was
process.
Well put. I thought that
not
was
at all. But let's talk about some other things around Major League Baseball. First of all, we need to send our prayers out to a guy named Danny Farqua. He's the relief pitcher of the Chicago White Sox. So prayers going out to him, his family, the team, and other loved ones. On Friday, Danny had a brain hemorrhage. So we all need to pray for him, for his good health and recovery. I believe this happened in the sixth inning of a game on Friday.
Was it against Houston? I think there was somebody on the other team that knew him well.
I can't recall who they were playing, but definitely, Danny, we're praying for you and your family and all of your loved ones. Now, let's move on to the Boston Red Sox, who leads the majors with 5 grand slams this year. Last year, they didn't have any. Now that you're talking about a team, the hottest team in baseball, and they have 5 grand slams. That's pretty amazing.
I did not know that. That's a freaky stat, actually, but you have to be doing something right.
The rich get richer.
And in addition to that, like I said, they're the best baseball team in the majors right now. And then you have a guy from the Oakland A's, Sean Manea, had a no-hitter Saturday against the Boston Red Sox. So this wasn't a fluke. This no-hitter was not a fluke. This no-hitter was a legitimate no-hitter. So, Mark, I'm not sure if you saw that, had a chance to take a look at that no-hitter, but anytime you have a no-hitter, something that should be recognized.
I didn't see any of it, but I love no-hitters. And that brings me up to one thing. Trevor Williams had a no-hitter going for 6 innings. I don't know if you remember that. The first weekend of the series, and Hurdle took him out. Drives me insane. When it's my number one pet peeve in baseball, when a manager takes a pitcher out who's throwing a shutout.
My dad complains about that all the time.
Oh, my
God. That drives him nuts, too.
To me, it's like, okay, that manager now deserves to lose the game. I think Broad had a shutout going a couple games ago. Brought in Felice, first batter, boom, 3-0.
Well, I disagree with you, Mark. Well, it depends on who it is. You got to keep in mind it's early in the year, and as I indicated before, we barely have pitchers. So if you have the guy, you know, go the full way. I think he already had one complete game this year,
Trevor,
right?
Williams?
Was it?
No, this was his first start. Remember that series in Detroit? They started the first week.
Okay, so Taillon had the complete game.
Right.
So he did leave Taillon in.
Yeah, and that's great. But, you know, this babying the pitchers thing has gone crazy.
Yeah, but I think he realizes that he's looking down the road and he needs to have him. He doesn't want to overwork him. Because he'll be needed later down the road, and they're not going to improve their pitching any more than what they're doing now.
Let me ask you a question.
Go ahead.
You are a baseball aficionado.
Exactly.
Let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
How was it that Koufax and Gibson and all these great players, all these great pitchers from days gone by, could pitch complete games? Hear me out. It's a serious question. Satchel Paige, all these guys that could pitch complete games. When we talk about past athletes not being able to compete with current athletes because of the improved health conditions and exercising, conditioning, weightlifting, wouldn't you think current pitchers would be able to be stronger and more capable because they have all these advantages that the older pitchers didn't have? When did the benchmark become after 6 you're out? If those guys could pitch complete games without LA Fitness and spas and weights and all
Let
me give him the right answer.
Well, please. Apparently, I'm not the only one that feels that way.
Are you ready to
cue some
music up for me?
Question.
Are you ready to cue some music up for me? And it's during your air as well. Money, 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 money. Money.
It's all about money.
Huh?
You're saying it's all
about
money?
It's all about money.
I can accept
it's
that.
It's all about money.
Why do the pitchers still get hurt? Just like Bill said, and one of the reasons I think they get hurt is they don't have enough arm strength because they're not pitching enough
Trev,
innings.
Are you queuing that up for me? I can use it right now. I could use it right
now. Well, we're not
going to
disagree with that. We're
dying to hear.
And I agree with you, Mark. The pitchers these days are baby. I mean, you had, I can't think of his name right now, but you can help me out, from the Washington Nationals, Steven Strasburg, like 4 years ago. They cut him off.
Yeah, oh, right, right.
In the middle of the year. They told him, you don't need to pitch anymore, because they're thinking career long term. We got too much invested in you to overwork you, to have you hurt your arm, and he's been hurt. Hey, he had a major injury.
He has had some injuries
previously.
Right.
Yeah. So the pitchers are baby. And as I mentioned before, me personally, I like the old school. I like what's going on with Shohei Ohtani.
Yes.
For the Angels, where he's doing multiple things. And while we're on this subject as well, I also feel that pitchers need to know how to hit, more especially on the in the National League. I don't believe that pitchers should be an automatic out. They're Major League Baseball players. They need to be able to hit. So I agree with you, Bill, but the answer to your question again comes down to money.
Well, you know, and I can I won't argue against you. I won't argue against that position that you enlightened us on, because I'm sure you're correct. You know, if I'm a pitcher, I want to go mano a mano. I want to go against that team. I'd rather have, and it's easier for me to say than do, I'd rather have a shorter, electrifying, dominating career than this elastic career that they're giving me that I won't be remembered for. I'd rather be, what was Sandy Koufax? Koufax pitched 9 years, and he's the benchmark because he was dominant for 9 years. I'd rather be that person than I pitched for 14 years and they stretch me out and nobody knows my name.
I agree with you, Bill. But
and people used to be afraid of Bob Gibson.
Now, I gave you half or some of the song. All right. The first piece of the song I gave you. Give me the second half. Mm-hmm. Give me the second half of the song. I gave you the first half.
For the Love of Money.
A little bit more.
I don't know. People will die for their.
Some people got to have it.
Okay.
This is your air, Bill. You're supposed to know this, man.
You're supposed to know this.
You're
in nine directions, man. I don't know what you're talking about.
Let me jump in and agree with you, Kevin, on the pitchers hitting. I could actually. One of the books I've actually thought about perhaps writing in the future was about good hitting pitchers. There's nothing I hate more than the designated hitter in baseball.
Right. I love it.
And to see Ohtani doing what he's doing for the Angels, the Angels are one of my teams. I used to live real close to Angel Stadium. But
you should stick with that team versus the Pirates.
Well, they are 14-8. But I'm telling you what, I haven't been out there since this started, but I'm sure their fan base has been electrified by this whole thing. Just to say, oh, is he pitching today or is he going to hit today? What a cool thing.
Yeah, and he had a blister the last game, I believe, on his hand, and he had to be pulled out in the second inning.
And I'm asking this question
respectfully. Go ahead and ask the question,
No, you answered my question, and finally you answered the question.
Okay.
But listen, Are there more baseball things you have to say? Or have we rounded that? Have we rounded third base?
Are you
on our way home?
Trying to become more knowledgeable?
No.
Did you say rounding third? That was cool.
Yeah, every now and then. I wanted to offer something that's a little
bit. I'm done.
Okay, good. Having said that, we had some conversation going on here some time ago.
And we still got to get this draft in now.
For who?
The NFL draft.
Oh, yeah, we're coming back. We have a whole other section. But no, I wanted to offer this because last week, I think even last week or week before, we all offered our opinion on the greatest athlete of all time. And everybody had a different opinion, and we went around the horn. And I believe I said Jim Thorpe, and I don't know if anybody else concurred with me.
That's who I was thinking.
But let me just tell you this. Having said that, I went back. You know, we all remember seeing the Tarzan movies when we were kids, right? And Johnny Weissmuller jumping off the New York Bridge, and you have certain things embedded in your mind that no matter what, it's just logged in there. I had the Jim Thorpe story logged in the back of my mind with Burt Lancaster. You know, Burt Lancaster, one of the great early actors of the 50s and 60s. I mean, he was just Birdman of Alcatraz. And
Bill, are we going to get anything out of this?
But let me just tell you this. Having that logged in my brain, Jim Thorpe, All-American, the movie. Let me suggest to everybody, go get it, pull it up, Netflix it, pull it up, borrow it, rent it. It still holds up extremely well. Do you guys know or remember that Jim Thorpe and another Native American beat an entire college track team, just the two of them? Historically, and a lot of the points in the movie got lost because we were kids when we first saw it and we didn't go back to it. Go rent, buy, pull up Jim Thorpe All-American and be reminded why many people consider him the greatest athlete in the world. He was at Carlisle College, a college that was established for Native Americans. They played Lafayette. They ran against Lafayette on a track meet. Jim Thorpe's first official track meet at Carlisle College. And he and another Native American beat the entire Lafayette track team, just the two of them, legitimately in every event. That's how Jim Thorpe was such an incredibly gifted athlete. He won the decathlon and pentathlon in the same Olympics. Wow. Just think about that. And it's all brought back in the movie, and I've forgotten all that. So obviously I'm watching the movie, and I'm Googling to see how much of this is Hollywood. He won the decathlon and pentathlon in the same Olympics. 15 separate events. One man dominated an entire Olympics. Just an incredible. I just wanted to put it out there, man. When we talk about, yes, admittedly, Jordan, Chamberlain, Jim Brown, you know, great, great athletes. But Jim Thorpe, as the greatest all-around athlete who went on to play professional football, professional baseball, I was told by another friend that he went on to become a very good golfer, let alone all the gifted things he did. He was one of the pioneers of professional football. I'm telling you, it's incredible. You need to put your hands on it. This guy was something else. And to my surprise, Jim Thorpe was 6'2". 210 pounds. He wasn't a small person.
But he was big in those days. 6'2", 210.
6'10", 210 is working the day, Kev.
Played basketball, too.
Yeah, but I'm just saying.
And he played basketball. But back then, he's huge.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. I mean, but, you know, yeah, I mean, just, I'm telling you, I couldn't have been more amazed and reminded. And then the failure how, you know, he became an alcoholic, a little bit of a drinking problem. I don't know if he's officially an alcoholic, but a drinking problem. Lost his wife. His son died. You know, a lot of things happened in his life. But he was, you know, denied his Olympic medals because he played one baseball game or one summer of baseball just to raise money for his. I mean, he's done. Falsely accused of doing something that today wouldn't amount to anything. So, you know, just an incredible story. Incredible story.
And you and Mark have a big weekend coming up. You want to share that with everyone as well?
Yeah, but
no, we can't.
No, we don't have enough time because we really got to go into a couple things, Kev. So, but what I will offer is this, if you'll allow me, in the minute that we have left, and it's worthy of a minute. There's a movie out called Traffic. And the serious part of the movie is something like 150 million women, girls in this world are trafficked every year. It's an enormous, it's the second highest grossing problem, second to drugs. It is an enormous, and as men, obviously, the Me Too group, women are speaking up against all kinds of things. As men, we want to be aware. I wasn't as fully aware until I saw the movie. So I want to say the serious part about it first, that the movie's pretty good. And, you know, in my Courier articles, I'll always offer a musical, a movie assessment. But Traffic talks about how people, and I got to steal 30 seconds, Kev, how sex trafficking in this world, in this country, is an epidemic. And how about this, guys? Because long story short, I've been doing some community service work with the FBI locally. Guess what else? It's just as bad in Pittsburgh as it is in New York, Chicago, or Miami. This is a huge, huge thing. I advise everybody to go see the movie Traffic just to have a sense of how serious this problem is. It's of major proportion. Now, here's the lighthearted thing I will offer to you about Traffic. Paula Patton is worth the price of admission. Let me just tell you that. Now, I gave you the serious part first, not to mix it. But Paula Patton is worth the price of admission. So if you don't do nothing else but pay your $7.50 to go see Paula Patton, do that. That being said, we'll be right back after this break.
To advertise on Urban Media Today, call 412-424-7045. Urban Media Today is an online blog magazine specializing in urban lifestyle, finance, entertainment, HBCU sports, and more. With 24/7 exposure and online exclusives, email editor at urbanmediatoday.com or call 412-424-7045.
Now, what y'all wanna do? Wanna be ballers, shot callers, brawlers? It's all about the Benjamins.
Yeah, what? I might be all that. But Smoking Jim Frazier joins us, and now sports talk show host in his own right. On Jim's on about 19 or 20 different shows now, man. He's a talk show guru. But the NFL draft is upon us Thursday. Let's hear from Smoking Jim Frazier about what's going on in the NFL draft, and very specifically, what the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to do about those gaping holes they got on defense.
Hey, thanks, Mr. Neal and Kevin and Mark. In my opinion, everybody knows that the Pittsburgh Steelers probably are going to take a linebacker in the first round. I did get a peek at their draft board recently, and I was surprised to see Ridgely from Alabama, wide receiver, rated pretty high on the Pittsburgh Steelers first round wish list. But if
what position again, Jim?
Wide receiver. But in my opinion, in the first round, the Pittsburgh Steelers should look for Boise State linebacker Van Der Esch. I called a good friend of mine. I talked to a good friend of mine, Butterbean. And if you know Butterbean's last name is Esch. So I asked, was there relations, because Butterbean had a big neck and Van Der Esch got a big neck. And Butterbean said most Eshes are related, but he's not familiar with this one. But he'll do Butterbean proud. Outstanding linebacker.
Okay.
Do you think he'll be available, though? Don't you think somebody else will pick him? I heard his name, too, but there was concern that somebody's going to grab him.
I think he will be available. I think it's a fairly deep draft for linebackers, inside and outside linebackers. He's a little bit raw like T.J. Watt was. He only was a one-year starter, was a former walk-on. 6'4", 256 pounds. Got one of the biggest necks I've ever seen. And this is a guy that's a tackling machine, gives you effort. And I really believe that he'll be available when Pittsburgh Steelers pick at 28.
Yeah. Well, let me ask this question. Who are the top three draft picks going in the NFL, in your opinion? Who are the top dogs that are going wherever they're going?
Well, I believe that my number one rated quarterback in the whole draft, I got two quarterbacks, 1A and 1B, and both of them are going in the first 10 picks. Mason Rudolph from Oklahoma State, I think, is the best quarterback in the draft. Closely behind is Lamar Jackson from Louisville, but probably Cleveland Browns with the first overall pick will probably take Sam Donaldson, perhaps. I think the best player in the draft is Barkley from Penn State.
Mm-hmm. And that being said, what are the Steelers' top three expected takes in what positions?
Well, the Pittsburgh Steelers, like I said, they're looking for a linebacker, which is not unusual. They take one every year. And I think in the first round they will go inside linebacker. I believe in the second round – I will try
and,
to.
And who would that player be?
I would take Van Der Esch from Boise State.
Okay.
What if he's not available? Are they still going to go for a linebacker, do you think? Or?
If he's not available, they would probably go for the best available player, because, like I said, there's going to be a run this year on linebackers, because it's probably the worst year in terms of first-round draft picks for offensive linemen. Maybe one or two offensive guards, maybe zero offensive tackles will go in the entire first round. So teams got to take somebody somewhere.
Is all this linebacker conversation about replacing Shazier?
I think so. Shazier was a two-time Pro Bowler, and the Pittsburgh Steelers really need somebody to step into that position. So I think it's more so from the demand from the season ticket holders in a Steeler Nation that they'll take a linebacker in the first round.
Well,
it's a safe pick.
The player that you just indicated, he's an inside linebacker?
He'll play inside linebacker in the NFL.
Yeah. What did he play in college?
He played a little bit of both, mainly outside.
Okay. And how's his ranking? Because I don't see him for inside linebacker. So did he play defensive end, outside linebacker? General linebacker.
Maybe you're on a wrong page.
Okay.
This is 2018.
2018. Good one, Jim. Good one.
Thanks for clearing that up.
Yeah, exactly. I'm glad you put that out there. But
the New England Patriots will not allow him to go into the second round. If the Steelers don't take him with the 28th pick, the New England Patriots have already pretty much said that they'll take him with the 31st pick.
Yeah, because New England has two picks in the first round. The Steelers just exercised their option this week on Bud Dupree.
Oh, congratulations.
So from an outside linebacker standpoint, as I indicated weeks ago, I thought that that was necessary because you're looking to really improve your defense and you don't want to go backwards. So you have someone already in place that's know the system and spend there for 3 to 4 years, and you want to build upon.
Now we can just get him to tackle somebody.
Well, yeah, he had a good first half of 2017, and he fell off a little the second half. So hopefully,
and like you said, Kev, from a size, athletic ability ratio, you can't go too much better than Bud Dupree.
Yeah, so I mean, he's 6'4", 269 pounds, and run a 4.56 40. Yeah. So,
are the expectations for Ryan Shazier any better? Does anybody know? You know, here in the Pittsburgh area, we see him at Penguin games and Pirate games and this and that. I think he threw out the Pirate pitch, the first pitch for the Pirates this season. But are there any hopes of his return? I mean, I know we don't want to speculate. And it is a very serious matter, so we're not making light of, but is there any chance that he returns?
Well, I said, and I took a lot of heat when I said it, that when he got hurt, I would contact Benny Hinn. I believe that Ryan Shazier will play again. His dad's a minister. He's already said that his son's going to be a miracle and play again. The only unfortunate thing is he would have been up for an $80 million contract. That he'll probably never see. But I really believe that he won't play this year, but there's a possibility that he'll play again, in my opinion.
And I understand what you're saying, Jim. The unfortunate thing is him getting hurt versus the money. Forget the money. Mm. You know, you want to have your life, and if he's able to recover, I know myself, I'll give up $80 million, $1 trillion, whatever it takes.
All I care about is him playing football again.
I just care about him being well.
And Evander Holyfield was healed by Benny Hinn when he had that heart condition. That's why I would have brought Benny Hinn in to get him back onto the field. But like I said, I just want to see him play football again at any cost.
And just to go back to New England that we talked about, New England – they're drafting 23 and 31 in the first round. And New England, they normally do a good job, you know, drafting. So I'm pretty sure they'll
do. You think they'll take a quarterback? I think right now Brady has not been attending some of the team functions. I don't know if he's upset that they may take a quarterback.
Do I think they'll take a quarterback in the first round?
Do you think so?
Absolutely not.
Okay. No, I don't think so. They're not gonna piss off. I think they'll trade one of their choices.
They're not going to piss off Tom Brady.
Blank, you're right.
Period.
They proved that by trading Garoppolo.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Now, doesn't
also traded away the black quarterback to the Indianapolis Colts.
Right, exactly. The year before, right?
So they have no quarterbacks on the roster over there.
Well, I want to go back. Mark, step right back in. I just wanted to clear something up. Shay, two things. Anybody that's ever played a little bit of football knows what it feels like to hit something hard. Mm. I know. I don't know, Mark. Did you play?
I just played a lot of Sandlot.
Okay, but you're a baseball player at heart.
Baseball player.
And Kevin, did you? I know you're basketball and baseball, but did you play football as well?
Mm-hmm.
So, and I know Trev has. So you know that everybody in here then has had a stinger, and you know what it's like to hit when two immovable objects collide. It hurts. And it can hurt for a long time. And it's as I'm sure everyone in here can remember exactly a certain hit and how it felt. I can recount numerous hits, and I can still feel how it felt at that time. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine what it's going to take for Ryan Shazier to be able to make a tackle unconsciously? How long will it take? And even superior thinking and healing and conditioning and the will to win – in that second, you have to decide if I'm going to make contact. And that can cost you or not, once again, your mobility, your life. Even if it's less than that, can you effectively play with that on your mind?
Well, on top of all that, Ryan Shazier, one of his greatest assets was his speed. And I just can't imagine after something like that that you're going to have going to be up to that speed again.
Yeah, that's a big concern. So, like I said, hopefully he'll get to the point where, you know, he's fully healthy. That's what I'm hoping for. I could care less if he ever plays another down of football. If he's able to totally recover, that's what's important. But
to that point, though, Kev, so then having said that, should he not consider playing again? Like if health is your primary factor, or if it's you, do you say, you know what, I could play again, but do you decide not to play? I think that's
I think if it's me, I'm not playing again.
I think a lot of people playing again. Yeah.
I'm done. I can do other things. Mm. And that's why it's important for all athletes to have a backup plan. And we've talked about this many times. Football or basketball is going to go away one day. And in the NFL, I think the average age of the average time frame for a NFL player anyway is around 3 or 4 years.
3 years.
Shazier wasn't average. He wasn't average.
But
his backup plan was at $80 million. So
yeah, but well,
going to Ohio State, he didn't have no other backup.
You have to have a backup plan other than earning from your football ability.
Or you should.
It's the key. But we need to get back to the draft because I know we're dealing with limited time as well. So what else do you have for us?
Well, let me ask you this question in that regard. What about the defensive line and a dominant defensive center to plug up that nose guard, to plug up that defensive line?
Well, they got Hargrove. Exactly. And they're high on him from South Carolina.
Will he meet the expectation?
Yeah.
Casey Hampton style?
No, there's only one Casey Hampton, but he'll come to camp in shape. That's the difference.
They're more concerned about safeties than defensive line, right?
Well, hold on, Tim. I can't let you get away with that. I mean, what was that? A little blow at my man, Big Snap?
Big Snap couldn't even make 10 40-yard sprints, man.
Man, talking about Hargrove is going to come to camp in shape.
He did slip that in.
Casey never was in
shape.
Wow. But he gave you what you needed come game time.
That's what I said. He's all pro. He's all pro.
You know,
but
he might be listening to this, Jim.
Well, he can listen all he wants.
You better watch your back, man.
Jim Frazier said that. Case.
He's out there in Houston still living large.
Well, to Mark's point, yeah, they're worried about defensive backs, and justifiably so. But the action's on the front line, and the more disruption you do on the front line, the less you have to worry about in the deep backfield. They need somebody to stop running backs from running those 15, 10, 20-yard bursts on them, and they need to be able to get to that quarterback. So that's what I'm curious about, if they're doing anything on that defensive line.
Well, like we talked about before, I'm not real concerned about defense because I don't care who you get. The game has changed, like you taught me a long time ago. It's continued to evolve. So defense, the Steelers' defense is about the same as everybody else in the league. I really believe that the Steelers, if they're going to go to the Super Bowl, it's going to be because they got an offense that's reminiscent of the old San Diego Charger offense with Dan Fouts and John Jefferson and those guys. They're going to outscore people, and you got to get a few playmakers on defense like a T.J. Watt, a hustler like a Van Der Esch, and some guys that can make some plays and get some turnovers for you every once in a while. But you have to have that offense that's capable of scoring 38 points a game, and that's what the Steelers have right now.
Now, let me ask you about a couple other prospects here. What about a Darius Geis from LSU?
Well, he's a good running back. He's a good running back, but my number one rated running back in the whole entire draft to still be there in the second round. And Rashad Penny from San Diego State. Now, this is a guy that's 5'11", 220 pounds. Nobody's talking about him. He led the nation in rushing last year with 2,300 yards. He scored 7 touchdowns in his career on kickoff returns. So this is a guy that can not only block, mm-hmm. not only catch,
yeah.
but he can run too. So he's the perfect guy to step in for Le'Veon Bell.
But,
so that's
but you
the guy
don't,
that I would
you
like.
Don't believe the Steelers will pick.
They'll pick a running back in the second round. They'll pick him.
But not in the first round.
No.
Exactly.
Not in the first round. No.
Okay, what about Uchenna Nwosu?
He's a freak. Very good.
Out of USC.
Yeah.
Edge rusher.
Yeah, got 4.5 speed. Absolutely freak. Outstanding guy. But again, the Steelers are set at the outside.
Okay.
I think they'll look more
Because we just
signed Dupree.
We have Watts, so mm-hmm. probably not. So
yeah.
We'll probably go
And then they still have Joey Porter as a coach who can't coach anybody up.
How about a receiver? We seem to get receivers in the fourth or fifth round to pan out. Is there any receiver that they've got in mind?
Well,
that they won't pick early, but maybe in later rounds.
Well, there's a kid out of Central Valley that'll be there as a free agent named Robert Foster. He's one of the fastest guys in the draft. A guy that I love is from Memphis named Anthony Miller, 5'11", 200 pounds, is the closest thing I've seen in college football to Antonio Brown and probably be there in the second round. I like a white kid out of University at Penn named Jason Watson, 6'3", 215 pounds, catches everything in the zip code. So he'll probably be available in the fourth or fifth round. So the Pittsburgh Steelers probably will. There's an opening there because they do have an opening for one receiver.
So right we could just go through these teams.
Two if they get rid of Hayward Bay, but they won't do that.
Get rid of Hayward Bay for what?
To open up another receiver spot, but they won't do
well,
that.
Well, that's
special
I mean, to
team.
Be honest with you,
15-year
that's
special
kind of,
team guy.
That's, Hayward Bay kind of had –
Nothing.
Has
no hands.
Hayward Bay kind of he's more of
stone.
A hybrid. He has a hybrid position.
Yeah, he's a receiver that can't catch. Is that what you mean? Is
no,
that what hybrid?
Not
I only got a general studies
Say
degree.
How you really
he's
feel.
Hybrid. he's hybrid because he's very good at special teams.
Oh my goodness.
And he plays wide receiver, but his core function on the team is a special teams player.
Because he can't catch a cold in a blizzard.
I haven't seen him miss many passes for the Steelers. I haven't.
Oh, my
except the important
I'm
ones.
Not saying I'm not saying he has great hands or even
clearly
average hands, but normally he doesn't see that many balls anyway, and the ones he actually sees for the Steelers, he normally catches.
Smoking Jim, I offered last week, and everybody in the room said I was crazy, but I think Mike Tomlin likes Lamar Jackson, and I think somehow or the other he's going to end up a Pittsburgh Steeler.
I hope not, because
I hope not as well.
Like I said, he's my 1B-rated quarterback, and if I was the Cleveland Browns with the first pick overall, I would take Barkley, and I would trade out of that fourth pick a little bit further down in the first round, and I take Lamar Jackson because, number one, this is a guy that can sell tickets for you. He can do everything. He's the Allen Iverson of quarterback play. This is a guy that threw for 3,600 yards last year, ran for 1,600 yards, and everybody's talking about him playing a different position other than quarterback. Michael Vick said he's the closest thing he ever seen to himself. In Cleveland, you already have a Cleveland team that's young and hungry. You get a guy like that that can get first downs for you with his feet. He got a big arm. But the Cleveland Browns will never take him because they have a backstabber and an offensive coordinator who's pushing for the head coaching job, and that's Haley. Look for Haley
to
backstab the head coach and get that head coaching job maybe before the end of the season.
Now, let me take you back to what you said about Cleveland and you said that they'll probably select who, and I believe go ahead.
They'll probably take Sam Donaldson, from USC. Yeah.
Wow, and I believe that that's a mistake, and I'm going to have to play off of something that Trev said.
I like Josh Allen better than Sam Donaldson.
Yeah, let me do this. I'm going to play off what Trev said because I had the great opportunity to listen to Trev's show this past week, Urban Media Today Talk Sports.
Were they at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
I'm not sure. And Urban Media Today Talk Sports come on every Saturday. Okay, 8 a.m. and 6 p.m. So, folks, if you haven't had a chance to listen to his show, him and his team actually bring it. And I actually like something that Trav brought up this past week. He talked about USC quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. Okay, so outside of Carson Palmer, what other USC quarterbacks can you say was successful in the NFL?
Probably the same number of wide receivers that was successful out of Mississippi Valley State other than Jerry Rice. So you still got exactly. to evaluate each guy.
Exactly. So saying that, I've said before that I thought it would be a mistake for Cleveland to pick Sam Donaldson.
I agree.
The move is to pick from Penn State, the running back from Penn State,
Barkley.
That's what I would do. Would be the move.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, Trav brought up a great point about USC quarterbacks. And I just had to, since you brought him up for Cleveland, I had to make sure that that was known because there's not too many good USC quarterbacks in the NFL.
That's a great point. And for me personally, if I was drafting, I would take Barkley with the one pick. Fourth pick, I would take a defensive player from NC State, Chubbs. And because you already have a gap there with the quarterback, Tyrod Taylor is there at Cleveland.
Picking up a little steam here, who are the Steelers going to take? Who's their first pick going to be?
It better be Van Der Esch.
Okay. Kev, who are you thinking?
I agree with the Van Der Esch. Mm-hmm. I wasn't familiar with Van Der Esch initially, but
well, who did you have on your radar for the Steelers to take?
I didn't have anyone. As I said before, I go more towards the position versus the actual player.
Well,
because you never know who's going to be available. But if he's available, I believe he's a good pick.
Well, here's why I'm wearing number 75, black and gold. I wore this today deliberately to set the tone in motion. The number one draft pick for your team should be a show stopper. I'm wearing number 75, ladies and gentlemen. The great Joe Green, the anchor of the greatest defense of all time in NFL history, as a part of the greatest football team of all time in NFL history. The Steelers need to pick a showstopper, a sure enough game winner, somebody that makes a difference immediately. How long has it been since we had that person? So I wore the 75 today to send a subliminal message to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Let's go get somebody that makes an immediate difference, because that's what Joe Green did, and Franco, and Stallworth, and Swan, and, well, not Rocky so much, but L.C. Greenwood, Dwight White.
To answer your question, Bill, we've had a lot of players recently that made an immediate difference, like a Cesar.
How long has it been? I'm just asking.
Ryan Cesar.
Okay.
There you go.
Comparably, Ryan Cesar meant the same to your team as Joe Green did to the Steelers when he was
not ready. At all.
Well,
I mean,
I'm asking, that's
like,
my point.
Like Smokey
no,
Jim
my
Frazier
point.
Said there's only one Casey Hampton.
But once again,
there's only one Joe
once
Green.
Once again, you took it and twisted it to fit your agenda. My question
you
is,
asked the question. I
when have
it.
We gotten?
Now you're changing.
No,
the question.
I wore 75 for a reason. We need to go get one of them cats. One of them difference
there's
makers
not,
out the gate.
There's not a
somewhere
Joe Green in this
somewhere,
draft.
Well, somewhere.
Well, we have the 28th pick, too.
Well,
you thank
go.
You, Marv. You know, see, Mark, Bill, I'm not sure what he's doing.
But here's somebody in the third round from a traditionally all-black school.
They didn't know Joe Green was going to be the
machine,
guy.
Darius Leonard
thank
from
you.
South Carolina
thank
State.
Thank you. Somewhere maybe there's a potential.
Okay.
Because they didn't know Joe
and
Green
what,
was
what
the
position?
He's an inside linebacker.
Inside
well,
linebacker, okay.
Outside.
And if Trevin Darius agrees with Leonard. It, you know it's right. They didn't know Joe was the man. They didn't know Mel was the man. They didn't know that. That's what I'm saying. We need to get one of them cats that 10 years from now we're still wearing his number. That's what I'm
like
saying.
Ben Roethlisberger and Antonio Brown, something like that.
Thank you. That's
I mean, Antonio Brown.
He asked, "What recent players have we drafted made
Antonio
an immediate
Brown was
impact?"
Outside that was the first round and
sixth
was,
round.
Yeah.
And for all of, for any of you, answer this question. We got to have another quarterback sooner or later. What are they? When are they going to get a backup for Ben?
Mason Rudolph, Oklahoma State. I love just ask Pitt. Just ask Pitt.
I was at that game. I was at that game. Yes.
He torched Pitt 2 years in a row.
Mason Rudolph tore it up.
Okay, so you have number one, Cleveland, Sam Darnold. Number two, New York.
They'll probably take Barkley.
They'll probably take Barkley.
Help if they're talking about keeping Eli Manning, that'll help Eli.
Number three, we have the Jets. That's probably where Chubb will be going.
The Jets is going to probably take a quarterback. It'll probably take Broadway Baker.
Okay.
They may trade out of that pick, but I believe they'll take a quarterback in the first round.
Sam. And then we have Denver. They need a quarterback as well, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they just signed Case Keenum, the Minnesota guy.
Yeah, so they got their quarterback.
Yeah, but you know Elway. I don't believe Elway is satisfied. He always, wants.
But does Arizona got that fifth pick from Denver?
No.
I think Arizona, they don't.
No, they don't. So I think Elway wants Rosen. And then for the number six pick, we have Indianapolis Colts. Baker Mayfield probably won't go to the Colts based on them already having Luck. They need to protect Luck as well. So we have a guard sitting out there, Quentin Nelson from Notre Dame.
Yeah, he's a beast.
And we have Tampa Bay. I'm seeing Marcus Davenport, defensive end, or Vita Bay. And we have the Bears picking number eight. And they're looking at Mike Hughes, cornerback, Denzel Ward, cornerback, and Calvin Ridley. And then San Francisco, who should be set for a real good year, they're picking number nine, and they're looking at Tremaine Edmonds, inside linebacker, and Denzel Ward again, and Minkah Fitzgerald. And then number 10, we have the Raiders. So that's the top 10 from a draft standpoint. Bill?
Well, I got to set the stage for Mark White, and I'm holding in my hands a new Pittsburgh Courier that on the front cover remembered Dr. Martin Luther King and the great things that he had done in his lifetime. And the picture, of course, is the March on Washington. And, of course, our listeners can't see it, but you've all seen it a zillion times in your mind's eye. And in 1968, Dr. King was assassinated. Shortly thereafter, Mark Wardett, the Pittsburgh Pipers won a world title here in the city of Pittsburgh. Run us through that real quick, that 1967-68 Pittsburgh Piper season led by Connie Hawkins, and what happened in the ABA.
That night, it was the first year of the ABA. The Pipers had Connie Hawkins going in. They had a pretty good cast, but they were missing something. They started out the season 11-12, and then they made a trade for Art Heyman, a forward who was good at a good penetrator. Once he penetrated, he could kick it out. He opened everything up for Connie, which opened things up for Tom Washington also. Tom Washington ended up winning the field goal percentage that year. But anyway, when they made the trade for Heyman, they went on an immediate 15-game winning streak. They also had a 12-game winning streak along the way. They finished 54-24, the best record in the ABA. In the playoffs, they swept the Indiana Pacers in three easy games. Second round, they played the Minnesota Muskies. As Bill mentioned, Martin Luther King was assassinated 2 hours before Game 1 started here at the Civic Arena. It rocked not just the world, of course, but also the sports world. But eventually, they got back to basketball. And the Pipers disposed of the Muskies. They played the finals were against the New Orleans Buccaneers, led by Hall of Famer Larry Brown, and also Doug Moe, who coached plenty of NBA teams. Connie Hawkins put the team on his back to win games 4 and 6 on the road. They were down 2-1 and 3-2. Each time he scored over 40 points. They came home for game 7. Charlie Williams was the star in that game, scored 35 points. Pittsburgh had their only professional basketball championship. Unfortunately, the team left town to Minnesota because of, low attendance.
Well, let me stop you there, because all of that is brought to your attention because this gentleman, Major Mark White, a retired Marine veteran who works in Washington, D.C., at the Pentagon, ladies and gentlemen, took time from his seriously loaded schedule to go visit members of that 1968 Pittsburgh Pipers team that are still living. Of course, the great Connie Hawkins passed away October 6th last year. And as you all know, Connie was our hometown hero. But Mark has found 13 other guys, and they're all coming to Pittsburgh on Friday, May 4th for a reception at the Savoy Restaurant, 6 o'clock until come one, come all. Come meet the original Pittsburgh Pipers ABA championship team. But that's just the beginning. And we do want to thank Chuck Sanders and Gary White for opening their doors for us. Friday, May 4th, Savoy Restaurant, 6 o'clock. Dress to Impress, free parking, and a lot of great, great atmosphere. But on Saturday, May 5th, there'll be a 12 o'clock press conference in the lobby of the Marriott Hotel Center City, where the ball players will be staying. A 12 o'clock press conference. Once again, come one, come all. And then 6 o'clock is a reception that I believe, if I'm not correct, will feature Soul Take Champions Live crew live on the set, recording the whole event to be broadcast at a later date. So clearly this is the event of the year. All 13 or 12 players, as Mark will tell you about, coming to Pittsburgh to be reunited for the first time on this 50-year anniversary since they won the title. And then we add to that guest speaker Billy Knight, the great All-American from Pitt and NBA scoring champion. Add to that the name brand of Mark Cuban helping to sponsor this event. Add to that a memorial salute to the great Connie Hawkins. Add to that the induction of 15 of the greatest players in Western Pennsylvania history, I dare say the nation, into the Connie Hawkins League Hall of Fame. That's going to be a bang-up night, Mark.
And lest you think the ABA was some minor league, just a few facts. The year before the ABA started, there were 10 NBA teams. 10. There's now 30. The first All-Star game after the merger, the ABA existed for 9 years, four teams merged into the NBA. That first All-Star game after the merger, 10 of the 24 players were ABA players.
Wow. And it's so what you want to do, two things. You can call 412-628-4856 for ticket information. That's Achieving Greatness Incorporated, 412-628-4856. And here's a special I'm throwing out, Trev, Kev. Anybody that wants to win two free tickets to this great event, if you can call my office, 412-628-4856, and tell me who I said the greatest athlete of all time is, you'll win two free tickets to that event. It doesn't get any easier than that. You've been paying attention. Call me, win the tickets, and we'll see you at the event. To that, anything else, Kev?
Yes. Also, I just want to remind our listeners to connect with us on Twitter. Soul Tate Champions Live as STCL Sports. Again, that's Soul Tate Champions Live at STCL Sports.
And the reunion, there's a website if you want to check out some more information, www.pghsforgottenchamps.com.
This is going to be the event of the year. Oh, and I forgot to tell you, Mark just got word, former Perry High School VMI All-American L.A. Laker Ron Carter has committed to coming in. So Billy Knight, Ron Carter, Sam Shulo, a host of great people, Jim O'Brien, Sean Hawkins, Connie Hawkins' grandson. It's loading up and loading up fast, ladies and gentlemen, so be a part of it. And until next time, remember, champions aren't born, they're made. And we make them better than anyone. Soul Tape. Champions Live is the name. Talking sports is our game.
In your hand, you have $19.99. What could you do with that? You can fill up your gas tank. Stop by a local coffee shop. You may need to add a little bit more to that. Maybe a matinee ticket to the movies. Matinee, though. What about subscribing to UrbanMediaToday.com? No, think about it. For just $19.99, you'll receive exclusive podcasts, interviews, entertainment updates, sports reports, and more. A VIP subscription to Urban Media Today is more than just a magazine subscription. It's
access to the urban lifestyle. UrbanMediaToday.com is your only source for HBCU sports. Plus, you have direct access to awesome prizes like gift cards, swag, concert tickets, and your $19.99 supports another minority-owned business. That's pretty cool, right? Log on to UrbanMediaToday.com right now and subscribe for just $19.99 a year. Not a month, not a week, but a year. You've always wanted to be a VIP, right? Well, here's your chance. Subscribe today for just $19.99 at UrbanMediaToday.com. You can thank us later.